Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Electrolux SA conference call. At our customer's request, this conference will be recorded. As a reminder, all participants will be in a listen-only mode. After a short introduction, there will be an opportunity to ask questions via the webcast. If any participant has difficulties hearing the conference, please press star key followed by zero on your telephone for operator assistance. May I now hand you over to Anil Srivatsava, CEO, who will lead you through this conference. Please go ahead.
Thank you, Kai. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for taking your time to join this webcast this morning, at the back of the press release we sent out today announcing our interim results. We would share with you for next 30 minutes or so the summary of the press release, provide additional context and perspectives. I'll be joined by my colleague, Hubert Anglès, CFO of the group. Without so much ado, let's get started. I'm on slide number one, which says 2019 interim results. Before I begin, I want to take a moment to thank all our shareholders, our customers and employees who have worked incredibly hard for the last 9 months in the year to achieve a number of operational results, if you like, which I will share with you, at least the summary of the same. On to slide number two. The headlines, the highlights of our results are the following. At the back of a tremendous 2018 we had, where we had record revenues, we are today announcing achievement of a milestone, I repeat, achievement of a milestone, for the first time in the history of the company for years, at least for the last 20 years. We have an order book. These are confirmed purchase orders for delivery in 2019-2020 of more than 100 million Swiss francs. This is tremendous. This is exactly what we have been working for a number of years to build up the momentum, build up the scale of the business. I'm very pleased to report that we have achieved that. However, it is true that the first half of the year, we had a slow start. Primarily, the delay, deferred revenues come from two important incidents, which I will take you through. One around project financing of St. Kitts project, and second around an industrial preventive action we had taken back in July. So clearly, that revenues are deferred, but they are deferred, they are not lost. I would like to reemphasize that. Moving on, we will go more into details of the St. Kitts project, but it is important to say, subject to the ongoing due diligence by a very large fund, this would be a $57 million purchase order on Letranche. That is more than the turnover in any year done for the last 20 years. Very significant amount of work has been done. I'll be very pleased to share more details about the project with you. Moving on, we have shared repeatedly with you during our shareholder meetings and through press releases from time to time. The most exciting part of the business is about e-transport, electrification of transportation system. That business is ramping up very, very well. We will share success with you around e-marine business and also the progress we have made in commercial vehicle sector. To that point, we won't share much details, but what I can say to you today, that very shortly you should hear from the company that one of the largest train manufacturers in the world, has selected Leclanché as a preferred partner to supply battery packs to them around the world. That details will be shared shortly with you. It is an exciting development. It comes with a tremendous amount of obligations on the part of the company to meet certification required. Nevertheless, it's a very exciting news. Very shortly, we'll share more details of that with you. Lastly, after four years of implementing the growth plan, the board has taken a view that our business units, particularly stationary storage and e-transport, have reached a critical size, and we should now kind of reorganize ourselves strategically into these units, which will be independent units operating with their own P&L within the family of Le Planche SA. More details to follow. I'm on slide number 3. We are going to share with you the details of the order book and the pipeline as concretely, as clearly as is possible. The table which you see on slide number 3 has two columns. One says what are the projects for which we have purchase orders for delivery in 2019 and 2020. The second column says the qualified pipeline of projects as of 2nd September 2019, for which the scheduled deliveries would be between the year 2020 and 2023. You can see from those numbers that all three business units are doing very well. In particular, I would like to comment on stationary storage. This is the time to talk about St. Kitts project in some detail. As announced early August, this is one of the largest, we are told, is the largest solar plus storage project in the Caribbean, 44 megawatt hours of battery and 36 megawatts of solar power. This project is testimony to everything we have done. We have built, thanks to the great support from our shareholders, the design, the engineering skills, the project development, all that has come together to design this beautiful project. It will deliver about 25 to 30% of electricity need of the St. Kitts and Nevis Island, 25 to 30% of green baseload power. The project is unique. It is possible to design project of this magnitude with this sophistication only because we own our own energy management software. At the heart of the design is EMS energy management software, which many of you recall we acquired from a US company back in 2018. So EMS is at the heart of the project, and at the back of that we have designed this project to deliver 25 to 30% of electricity in St. Kitts. It is the time, I can never say enough of this, it is time to thank the government of St. Kitts and my own team which has designed this project. We particularly like to thank Minister Ian Patches and the team at Skellig who have done a tremendous job in working with us to develop the project. The project is moving on to the project financing side of it. The project is going through a due diligence for 100% of project finance. That's about $60 million of project financing. This is right now with a very large fund in New York. And we had, for once in 5 years I've been with the company, a choice, more than a choice, if you will. We had number of investors. In the end, we had term sheet, very detailed term sheet from a Swiss fund along with a Canadian pension fund and from this fund in New York. We gave a limited exclusivity to the fund in New York because they have experience of investing in the Caribbean. We expect the due diligence to complete in about a month maximum. We expect the financial close between end of October to mid-November. And again, once financial close is done, this will be a confirmed purchase order for $57 million to be delivered this year and next year. Based on what we know today, most of the revenue will be in 2020. We will recognize a part of the revenue this year in 2019. I'm moving on to slide number 4 to take you through some highlights of our e-transport business. You can see again the amount of purchase orders we have confirmed for delivery in 2019-2020. That is $45 million, consistent with what we had announced at the last AGM. Additionally, exciting bit is we have a number of details I'll share with you. There is qualified pipeline of more than $120 million. In combination of marine and commercial vehicles. I would at this point request those of you who have access to, if you can please click on the link at the bottom of the press release. you will be connected to our website where our interim results are posted. And there is a detailed letter to the shareholders our chairman and I wrote. You will find the details of the projects which underpin this number. Again, I would like to reemphasize, this includes an exciting win we will shortly announce, where one of the largest train manufacturers in the world has selected Le Cronchet as their preferred supplier. Moving on to slide number 5, our specialty battery systems business. This is our traditional business of building custom batteries for certain type of customers in defense and in medical sector. The exciting part, though the numbers are small, the exciting part is most of the bids we do today in this business is around robotics. Robotics in defense, robotics for civil purpose, robotics for warehousing called automated guided vehicle. So we are seeing a trend where more and more robots are mobile, and as they are mobile, they certainly need battery. So though the numbers are small, we remain very excited and committed to this part of the business. I'll move on to slide number 6 and go into some operational details. Clearly, it is not good enough just to keep raising the revenue, take more orders. Okay, that does come with more expenses, more investment. It is also important to stay competitive today and in the years to come. And I'm very pleased to reconfirm what has been shared at the AGM, that we expect the total cost reduction to be at least 50% by year 2020. And that comes from the innovation, primarily innovation in lithium cells using graphite NMC chemistry. A part of that lithium cell is called cathode, which uses now an industry-leading cathode called 622, 6 parts nickel, 2 parts magnesium, 2 parts cobalt. Okay, this is helpful. This is core why energy density is increasing, moving from 160 watt-hours 2 years back per kilo cell. Today, we are at 200 watt-hours per kilo energy density. We expect to touch 230 by middle of 2020. So this is testimony to all the investments we have made, our shareholders have made in research and innovation for past many years, particularly investment we made in 2018 and part of 2019. That's all good and fine. Clearly, in an industrial business like ours, particularly in electrochemistry, all of you on the call are aware that from time to time, there are quality safety issues. And I want to absolutely be clear on that we took a precautionary measure to review all our production processes in the month of July for about 4 weeks. And this was triggered primarily from the fact that one of the leading vendors in the world, who are also our partners in stationary business, they had serious problems around the world. It is publicly known. The Korean government even had put an investigation on those issues. And those are all public information. We do not want to go into that. We want to, first of all, say this particular vendor is a good and a great partner of Le Cronchet. We work with them in stationary business predominantly using their technology. Having said that, there are serious issues. And when we looked at those issues in our own projects in North America, in Europe, we thought that, look, if such a large company with huge amount of R&D and resources can have problem, can we look at what we do? We use similar chemistry. We use similar material. So a precautionary but required one, I shut down this production for about 4 weeks, asked the team to build up a plan and go through every step of self-fabrication and make sure that we do not have any issues which could lead to safety in future. That was a precautionary move. It did cause disruption in supply to customers, and is part of the revenue deferral, not the largest part, but is part of the revenue deferral from first half to the second half of the year, and potentially some from second half of 2019, even into 2020. I would urge everybody's understanding that it was the most responsible thing to do. When there is a problem in the industry, one must make sure that we have checked, double-checked that our own processes are safe and sound. So that is what we did as a precautionary measure to make sure that we deliver the highest safety in the industry. I move on to the next topic on the slide number six again. Okay. Pleased to report that our progress in the joint venture with Exide Industries Limited, the company is called NexCharge, is going very, very well. The line for module assembly and battery packs would be up and running next month, October 2019. We expect them to be in full production of battery packs using cells from our factory in Germany by end of the year 2019. I move on to slide number seven now. I mentioned about strategic reorganization. This is something we have often discussed in our board meetings, and for last couple of months there have been intense discussions from July until 2 weeks back, and the board decided that time has come now to really create units, business units, which have their independent P&L and put focus. That's the first part. Second part, the objective of doing so is then invite strategic shareholders who will provide not only the growth capital, but also the balance sheet support the business needs. In the letter to the shareholders, I have provided a lot of details for you to look at it. Why is this important? I want to take a moment and take you through. In transport business, as many of you would know, there is a need for certifications from sector to sector. There is a separate certification required for railway sector. There is a separate certification required for commercial vehicles. These are time-taking, expensive, heavy process orientation. The entire company, the processes are rehashed as a part of this certification requirement. We have won the business with one of the largest train manufacturers with a commitment to meet those certifications. We have started the process. I repeat, we have started the process. It will take at least till end of 2020 to achieve the railway certification, and it will take further two more years until 2022 to achieve full automotive certification. It is important to do the certification for the relevant part of Leclanché Group, not the global Leclanché Group. This pertains to e-transport business unit, not to stationary, not to other parts of the business. So it was wise to kind of do the strategic reorganization and launch certification alongside of it. If you have more questions, I'm very happy to take you through. It is also important to address shareholders on the call here one more time that this strategic reorganization is not to say that we will now only look for new shareholders. Absolutely not. We are thankful to all our shareholders who have stayed with the company patiently. Whatever mechanism we will build for these independent units, rest assured the board is committed. I speak on behalf of our board. Board is committed to make sure there will be a preferred participation in these units, okay, for existing shareholders if they will choose to participate. I cannot at this point discuss with you what that mechanism would be, but I can express the board's commitment that all existing shareholders will have an option to participate in these independent units on preferred basis. I move on to slide number eight. It's on the funding part of it. It obviously begins with thanking all our shareholders yet again. In particular, I'd like to thank the group of funds under the acronym FIFAM Phoenix's Group of Funds and AM Liquid Fund in Luxembourg, who have constantly supported the company since 2016 by way of fresh capital. And from 2018 through to now, they have been the sole source of new money for everything we have achieved. Some of that highlights I shared with you today. Without FIFAM's support, we would not be able to achieve what we did achieve. And I want to particularly thank FIFAM, as indeed all our shareholders, who have been patiently waiting for a company to move from the investment phase to the growth phase. I thank once again FIFAM. You have a number of details, but I want to highlight two parts. One question is always asked, how much money do you have? The answer is, we have contracted funding of $35 million from FIFAM. We have drawn about half of that. The remaining half still needs to be drawn. In addition to that, we are expecting significant revenue and cash from licensing the cell technology to the joint venture, to the Indian partners, and customer receivables. All told, we have additional $34 million of cash to be collected by end of the year. So how much cash do we have? A $17 million roughly yet to be drawn from FIFAM funding, and additional $34 million from customer invoices to be collected between now and end of the year. So the company is well funded. I'm not saying we are rich, but we are funded for the growth aspirations I have shared with you. But as we go into 2020, it is clear the ramp up based on the order book you have seen. I remind, an order book of $120 million, a qualified pipeline of another $166 million. Okay, you can put a very clear view, a judgment if you like, what the size of business we would be going in 2020. That will certainly require additional working capital, much less than as a percentage than what we required in the previous years, but we are in constantly in capital raise. We will raise fresh money to support the growth in 2020. At this point, I would like to turn over to Hubert to summarize the interim results both from P&L and balance sheet perspective. Hubert?
Thanks, Anil. So you have in front of you a summary P&L. Obviously, you have many more details available in the interim results report that we have posted this morning. Revenue for the first half of the year was around $7 million. It is obviously significantly below our expectations. It is just confirming that being in a project business, it is very difficult for us to predict what our revenue will be. We are also depending upon some operational matters which have prevented us from reporting a higher revenue at the end of June this year. The reasons affecting this revenue figures have been explained by Anil already. The first one is obviously the discontinuation of the production during the summer period for safety reasons. The Sankits project that we initially anticipated, to be kicked off in April will eventually be kicked off in November this year. So it has a significant impact on our first half of the year revenue. And finally, revenue expected from the joint venture licensing fees has not been recognized yet and should be recognized in the second half of the year. So in other words, in the fourth quarter of this year. In terms of EBITDA loss, so we are at around $28 million. It is reflecting, obviously, the low level of sales. It also reflects higher personal expenses. We have, although slowed down the recruitment path, we are now in a process of all the necessity of staffing our business unit to deal with all the different orders and requests for quotation that we are receiving. So personal expenses have increased over the first 6 months compared to last December. We have been adversely impacted also by the underutilization of the Wilstedt plant. We estimate this underutilization impact to be north of 4 million Swiss francs compared to 3.8 million in the same period of last year. So if we look at our normalized EBITDA loss, it would go down by 4.4 million, so bring it down to something like 24 million. The net losses of the company are impacted by financial expenses. We have paid almost 2.5 million of interest to our majority shareholder, thanks, I think, to finance all the loans, convertible loans that they have provided to the company. And we have also booked a 2.8 million depreciation, which explains the 33.7 million net loss of the reported period. On the balance sheet side, I've just summarized the main changes that have been recorded during the first 6 months of this year. We had to implement, to adopt IFRS 16, which requires us to recognize in the balance sheet the operating lease commitments and the right to use these lease assets. So it had a kind of a 6 million impact in the liability, which is the value of all the leased assets, and a corresponding 6 million on the asset side of the balance sheet, which is the value of the leased equipment. Our property, plant and equipment line has increased by more than 2 million. It is reflecting the energy management system acquisition that we completed in the first quarter of this year. We have also recorded a reduction of our contract asset receivables. So that's the money we have collected in the first half of this year from the different projects that had been delivered in 2018. And this amount is around 8.8 million. And finally, I think we have reduced the company's debt by 17 million, thanks to the conversion of a 36 million debt that has been done by FEFAM, our majority shareholder, in May 2019. That was one of the agenda items of the last AGM. I'm turning it now back to Anil for the going forward section.
Thank you, Hubert. The last slide of the presentation, slide number 11. Okay, I hope you've got the perspective on the order book and the commercial activity. I repeat, the order book for the company exceeds 100 million Swiss francs. It's a milestone. We have never had an order book of this size, in addition to a qualified pipeline of 160 million. So clearly, with that kind of strong order book, we have to ramp up all aspects of our delivery organization, and that does require capital, and that requires a lot of hard work in all aspects of it, industrial side, commercial side, and the personnel side, all of that work. That work is ongoing. We are working to maximize 2019 revenue. However, I want to be upfront to say we will not do anything stupid short-term just to make 2019 revenue and at the cost of either using more cash or losing some margin. We will not do that. So we will do whatever is natural, is possible in the coming months. We have placed purchase order for most of the hardware for battery energy storage system for St. Kitts. We are waiting for confirmation of delivery dates from different suppliers. So if financial close would happen as we anticipate end of October, mid-November at the outer limit, we should be able to recognize significant part of energy storage part of St. Kitts project. That's a work in progress. Additionally, as we talked about a preventive stoppage of the production, okay, that has affected, for clarity, only the transport contracts. The St. Kitts has no effect on this because St. Kitts, we use third-party battery system. That's our operating model in stationary business. So on that basis, the transport business, few orders have been deferred. We have an order book, which we have shared by detail in the letter to the shareholder. You can see for yourself such a large order book. We have an order book of 32 million euros in marine alone. Okay. However, we have agreed with the customer with obviously fair amount of difficulty. Customers are certainly not happy all the time when you defer it. We have agreed to defer some of the shipments from 19 into 20. We are working to recover as much time as we can. Therefore, right now I'm not able to provide a firm guidance for 2019. As we settle down the delivery of transport project with customers and financially close St. Kitts project, we will provide a firm guidance for 2019 in the due course before end of the year. So that's what we thought we could use as a summary to kind of articulate to you the press release we sent this morning and a detailed letter to the shareholders we also provided. At this given time, it's 9:32, 32 minutes past 9 o'clock. I would stop here and start to take some questions. We have a number of questions which have come through the web chat. I will briefly read the question and try to respond. Okay, in the given 30 minutes, as many questions as we can answer, we will answer. So I'm going to start from the questions here. Give me a second, please. I'll start from the top here. The question is from Mr. Spillman from Brulon. The question is, you stopped production in July for reviewing your manufacturing process, comma, at the same time you announced on August 7th the Caribbean deal. What didn't you announce the disruption in supply chain? By chance, I had just answered this question in my closing comment. I repeat, St. Kitts does not use lithium cells produced by Lecranchet, so St. Kitts was not affected by the supply chain decision we made. So hope that clarifies. However, it does affect other projects in marine and transport, but not St. Kitts. The second question, again from Mr. Spillman, is, are your Indian partners fully financed to make this JV a success? Our Indian partner's name is Exide Industries Limited. It is the largest battery manufacturer in India. They are $1.5 billion company. They have been in existence since 1936, and they have been profitable for a record 30 years. So they have a solid balance sheet and solid financial strength to be able to support the joint venture. We remain very confident. One more question has just come up from Mr. Spillman. What about your UK project? How is it progressing? The UK projects, we have a couple of them which we have shared with you, particularly with EVN, EV network charging stations. I'm pleased to say that that is progressing well, though slowly. We are currently testing our energy storage system, which we have custom designed for EV networks in few locations with UK power networks in around London City. Other question from Spillman again is around restructuring. It reads like this: how do you intend to have Mr. John Smith to participate in the progress of new units without being diluted? Mr. John Smith is a small Swiss investor who can only invest in Swiss quoted companies and big supporter of LSA during years. Again, for all of us in the call, this is about strategic reorganization. And I would like to first of all clarify, Lecranchet SA is and remain, that's the board's decision, as a listed entity in Switzerland. So those who are shareholders of the entity Lecranchet SA shall continue to be the shareholder. However, as we open the capital of the new units, bring strategic investors who will provide both the fresh growth capital and, importantly, the balance sheet support, there will be a fair market valuation done by an independent entity. We will make sure that we give an option to all existing shareholders to participate on preferred basis to the fair market valuation. So if external investors come at X, there will be an expectation, rightly so, that the existing shareholders will come at a discount to that. I hope that clarifies the question. I move on to take a few other questions from other people. Finance and Witchcraft is asking the question, can you give some details how the share of the three separate units will be traded if you already have commitments from investors? First of all, we are reorganizing the books to have independent P&L only from 2020. That's the first point I would like to make. These separate units will remain wholly owned by Electronics SA until new shareholders come in. At that point in time, we will indeed put them in separate legal entities. So at this point in time, I can't give you the details of three separate business units or how their share will be traded. They will remain wholly owned subsidy to start with of Leclanche and will remain, that's board's intention, will remain majority controlled by Leclanche SA. There is no decision made yet by the board to consider them to list them separately, while that remains an option depending on who the new strategic shareholders would be. I hope I have answered the question from Mrs. Shacho. Any further questions here, VC? Ladies and gentlemen, if you have questions, please do post it on the web chat. We still have 10 minutes or so to go over it. Mr. Spillman is asking a question. Have you discussed this restructuring with SIX? Well, we have not discussed, nor we believe that is need to be discussed, because we are not changing the nature of our listing with SIX, as I just mentioned. The question from Lajefi, Monsieur Affolter. What about your break-even target? In the past, you spoke about 2020. We are still working towards this goal. The level of business is certainly there to achieve break-even. I mentioned at the AGM, I would like to repeat, the break-even point is somewhere between 160 million to 200 million turnover, depending on the mix of transport and stationary business. The level of order book and the qualified pipeline I've shared with you underpins that. We do need fresh capital to execute the level of business, and we would do the capital raise as already announced. Any further question? There's a question just popped up. There are too many coming, so whatever is coming on the top, I'm trying to respond. Mr. Spillman asked the question, please give a clear example. The board must have gone through each scenario for each unit before approving the reorganization. Mr. Spillman, what I'd like to urge to you is that the decision has been done after a very, very thorough review of the strategy, the pros and cons. As we progress through the year, there will be a detailed announcement about this reorganization to follow. What is important today is to share with you, as the board has decided to create these separate units, again, 100% still owned by Leclanche SA. That decision is made. Second decision which is made is we'll conduct fair market valuation by independent, reputable organization, and then open the capital of that. And that is all has been decided at this point in time. More details to follow. One more question has just come from Mr. Spillman. How can Mr. Smith invest in a not quoted unit? Mr. Spillman, Mr. Smith's choice would be to invest or not. Otherwise, he remains or she remains a shareholder of LeConte SA. It's an option, not a must. We'll give 3 more minutes. If there are no further questions, I would like to summarize and close the call. Mr. Spillman has asked another question, so he will be diluted. I'm assuming that's John Smith. It is true that if we raise more capital to support the level of business delivery we have, we certainly will raise capital, and that will cause dilution. There is no question about it. Mr. Spillman asked further, because he can't invest in not quoted companies. I think I have answered this. We will go towards closing the call in 2 minutes at 9:45. If there are any further questions, please post them. Ladies and gentlemen, we have come to the close of the call. I rest assured that if you have posted questions and thereby they are not answered, because this will be open for another few minutes, we will answer every question by email. So if you have provided your email, expect an answer from us. With that, I would like to yet again summarize by first saying thank you. Thank you to all shareholders. Thank you to FIFAM. And thank you to all our customers who have placed trust on LeConte. Last not the least, a big thank you to my team who have worked incredibly hard to build the business to the level it is today, which is 100 million plus of purchase orders and another 166 million of qualified pipeline. I was actually beginning to conclude, but there is a question which has come up. I will take one. This will be the last question. This has come up from a company called VVRD. Are there no synergies between these three units that you will split them up? Ms. Yuburi, there are synergies, okay, but they are at different levels. Stationary, as you know from the previous presentations, we are a systems integrator using our energy management software at the heart of any design. But we are open to using any battery system, preferably LG Chem and Samsung SDI, in addition to our own batteries. We have implementations around the world using our own batteries and using batteries from LG Chem and Samsung SDI. So that is a systems integration model led by software and services. Okay, whereas e-transport business is a very industrial business where we do complete research, development, production of lithium cells, modules, battery packs, testing, certification, homologation. So that's a very capital intensive industrial business. So there are synergies, but they are minimal, okay, as we have evolved the business to the critical size. That's been our learning. So that's why it is logical to put their businesses into different units. In addition, I would like to reemphasize the need for certification. need for railway certification, automotive certification, as I have described in the letter to yourself to the shareholders, it's on our website, you can see it, are very heavy, and it's better to do it for relevant people of the company rather than the global group. So those were some of the rationales for splitting into three business units coming into 2020. I once again like to conclude this call by thanking our shareholders, customers, and employees. I would like to re-emphasize that your company, Le Clancher, has got a solid order book of more than 100 million and a pipeline of 166 million. This underpins our confidence to reach the turnover between 160 to 200 million in 2020, therefore achieve EBITDA break-even or EBITDA positive. However, I must say that this will require fresh working capital and investment in capital expenses. I would like to repeat those numbers broadly. They shared in the last shareholder meeting. We need about 25 to 30 million in working capital for 2020, and we need 40 to 45 million in capital expenses for delivering 2020. With that, I would like to thank you for taking your precious time to join this webcast this morning. If your questions are not answered, we shall answer them by email. Thank you for joining the call. At this time, we would like to close the call. Kai, please close the call.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for your attendance. This call has been concluded. You may disconnect.